Yes, I'm recording.
Mike, it happens every time. It doesn't just happen one time. It happens every time.
Okay, so every time I sign on, I have to redo the adjustment because it defaults to what we don't want it to do.
Let's get to the Vegan Hacks pod, young man. Enough of this nonsense.
It would be my honor to get to the Vegan Hacks pod. We're saving lives here.
We talk about vegan stuff here on this podcast, lives. Okay?
Yes. How can I help you?
Mike Keller, are you going to talk about vegan stuff?
I mean, sure, why not? Let's talk about vegan stuff.
And I'm Jason Kartalian. I'm here to talk about vegan stuff too.
What's new in vegan land?
What isn't new, Mike Keller? What isn't new?
It's an ever-changing landscape of protest and technology.
Okay, so Mike.
Yes.
Had a special assignment.
Oh, God, what did I fail to do this time?
Okay.
Like, I don't remember an assignment.
There is a hotbed of vegan activity in Portland. So anyway, tell us, young man, what happened? What did you eat? What was your experience like? You had an amazing gastronomic experience in Portland, Oregon. Not Portland, Maine.
You built this up so much. Now, look, Portland is super vegan friendly. And I was with a non-vegan. And so we went to a lot of places that had vegan options. And I think the good thing about Portland is the whole place has lots of vegan options.
Okay, hold on. So you didn't go to vegan restaurants?
I wanted to. I really wanted to. But my friend has dietary issues.
That wouldn't be satisfied at a vegan-only restaurant.
Well, the thing is, a lot of vegan-only food... Look, I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying, like, a lot of vegan-only food has, like, a lot of onions. And when she eats onions, it gives her tummy problems. I don't know.
Actually, isn't there, like...
Like, you know, a lot of those fake meats and stuff have onions in them? I don't know.
When you say fake meats, you're talking about, like, Impossible Beyond?
I don't know. I honestly just went along. But I did have some good vegan options. You know what's sad? The one actual vegan restaurant I went to was the Veggie Grill. I was curious to see if it was different than California, and it was like the same exact thing, and the employees were so like depressed.
Okay, so send your hate mail to Mike Keller at Vegan Hacks Pod.
I'm glad
for
that email
dropping
exist.
The ball.
Yeah,
everyone
really...
from Portland. Who've been really excited about the experience. Just go ahead and send it towards Mike Keller.
The best Thai food I've ever had. It was vegan. It was a vegan option at this Thai place. It was really good. You're looking at me with such disappointment.
I guess sometimes we have social connections that require us to drop the ball.
I really dropped the ball. I'm sorry.
Because this was going to be the segment where you talk about all the amazing.
No, it was
special
not.
Vegan.
Come on, you're just
yes,
saying that.
I have it marked on my thing, my little notepad.
I'm so sorry. I ruined the segment.
It's okay.
Portland is a lot of fun, and there are a lot of vegan options.
So, what did you do in Portland?
I went to the Portland Art Museum. I went to the Science Museum. I went to this really cool barcade. I think it's called like Mission Control. Very cute, like retro place.
Did you go in any vegan restaurants? Oh, I'm sorry. We already covered that.
Was that like...
I don't
senility?
Know. You went to Veggie Grill. He goes to Portland and goes to Veggie Grill.
I wanted to see what it would be like. Okay, sorry.
Was it a lot like the time that we went to Veggie Grill?
It was, well, the Veggie Grill in Portland is actually sadder than the Veggie Grill we went to. It's in like, you know, it's the same design, but it's in poorer repair. And the employees were just like, they seemed disgruntled. I shouldn't, you know, I hope they're not listening. They seemed disgruntled. You know, they just seemed like sad.
What made them seem like they were disgruntled?
I don't know. Maybe it just sucks to work for a Veggie Grill. I don't know. They just, you know, everyone in Portland is so like overly friendly. And they were just like, yeah, sit over there, you know? Oh, can I tell you one thing that's really cool about Portland? Powell's Books. It's like the hugest bookstore ever. Sorry, this has nothing to do with veganism, but it is like multiple. It's like a city block. It's crazy. It has both used and new books. Very cool.
And you can get a book on veganism there.
Yeah, you can. You can.
I just remember being in Powell's and like a lot of it was like indoors. Like you go in.
Well, yeah,
and
it is.
It's all
it
like
is,
kind book, of a whole book complex.
Are generally indoors, yes. But no, you mean like windowless? Yeah, because it's like it's so big. It's so sprawling. It's like multiple buildings all mushed together. And you go like upstairs and downstairs and it's really cool.
Okay, so you went upstairs and downstairs, and you went to Veggie Grill, then you came back to L.A. That's your whole like situation.
Coffee shop that's inspired by The Princess Bride.
All right, well, let's move on to something else, because obviously there was some major ball dropping that was happening.
Yeah, I definitely fumbled that one.
I mean, you could have just like steal away and like
I could have
I mean, you do have certain responsibilities here.
No, you're right.
This is actually kind of interesting because I think it's kind of apropos. I know you don't like me talking too much about the vegan influencer space.
Yeah, it's pretty boring.
No, I don't think
again,
so.
It's not any more boring than me not going to any vegan places in Portland, okay. So I guess.
This is the boring podcast. No, okay. No, I find this interesting because I think this has to do with society and culture. And it also has to do with us like moving the goalpost as far as we can. And I mean,
how the expression works.
Whatever. I keep on trying to move those goalposts. Whatever. I'm doing the best I can.
You keep trying to change the standards of judgment?
Whatever, man. I'm doing whatever I can to keep it going, man. All right.
You're doing something. More than I am, apparently.
I'm doing my best to promote vegan cooking, vegan lifestyle, vegan options, mainstream vegan options, you know, and I post on social media, and what I'm seeing, especially on TikTok, is a lot of vegan content is being minimized. It's very difficult to get engagement.
You mean the algorithm is burying it?
Correct. And I'm seeing even large, you know, creators not get the views, the engagement that they used to get. And I'm thinking, and also you're also seeing stuff like on Insta. I mean, obviously my Insta numbers are up right now because I got a lot of followers earlier this year. But on Insta, I'm seeing a lot of vegan desperation as well, where Insta's starting to clamp down on what they consider political content, and is veganism political content? You know, and what I'm seeing,
this does feel kind of dystopian, where it's like, don't express a political opinion. We just want like fluffy entertainment, fluffy light entertainment.
So what I'm seeing is some creators, vegan creators that usually like make vegan food and share vegan recipes. What I'm seeing them do is transition to other topics.
Oh, unrelated to, interesting.
I saw one.
Better than them like cooking steaks.
No, but I saw one of my favorite vegan creators is making wine on their channel now.
Oh, that's vegan.
I understand that.
They're making a food product. I think that still counts.
And then there's another vegan creator that created a whole new account for matcha.
Also a food product.
Yeah, I understand that, but what I'm saying
I know what you're saying. They're trying to like diversify and branch out. Yes.
That these people have and the good that they're pushing out, you know, sharing vegan recipes, that is moving in a different direction and in turn harming the message and not allowing us to push out our message about, you know, vegan food, vegan recipes, being nice to animals, not wearing leather shoes, whatever. I also see some creators getting discouraged, posting less. So I do think
that the reward that they used to get is dwindling.
Yes.
You know, they used to get more payout.
And not just that. It's not just payout, but it's also a lot of these smaller vegan companies are not doing as many brand deals. So a lot of the economic rewards have dried out as well. So I just find that to be an interesting element. So obviously, I think that's interesting. Do you think this is interesting, Mike Keller?
I do think it's quite sad. I mean, I'm glad at least they're not like doing meat content. Is it specifically to vegan content creators, or is it like they're just? I know they just reduced payments to everybody.
Oh right? No. Well, we're talking about TikTok per se, but it's not just payments. It's just, I mean, it's views, it's engagement, it's.
Sorry, but doesn't the algorithm serve people what they're interested in? So if somebody keeps liking vegan stuff, wouldn't they still get served it all the time? Yeah, it's almost as if the algorithm is just adjusted to like, let's preach to the choir only and not to outreach to new people.
Maybe they're trying to avoid controversy because sometimes vegans present controversial topics. And so there's some governor of vegan when something is hashtagged vegan or vegan content, it's only relegated to a certain amount of people.
A scary thought just crossed my mind. So TikTok is at the risk of being like sold or taken over or something, because you know Congress is trying to pass some kind of law or whatever. They're just trying to get it sold to like an American company or banned or something like that. So on that basis, maybe as a defensive strategy, they're trying to reduce political content on the assumption that the reason why Congress is making such a big deal of fighting TikTok is maybe because people are being political on it and they're afraid that like whatever people are saying that's controversial is seen as a threat to the politicians, and so they want to like shut it down. And so maybe TikTok is trying to defend itself against this politicians' ire by being apolitical, which I that sounds like a reach, but I also wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, I mean, I think that obviously reducing vegan content where there is, you know, trolls, where there's negative engagement, where there's a lot of back and forth at each other. I get that when I do lives, like it's so funny. I'll be posting videos of vegan food and the trolls don't come to my vegan content. But when I do a live, all of a sudden there's trolls everywhere. They show up. They exist. They exist on the platform.
Like 2 weeks ago, I sat in on your live and there was like one troll. We just kind of ignored him.
Yeah, I kind of engage with the trolls. I think it's kind of fun. I ask them how old they are, you know, why they asking the question.
That also helps your numbers, doesn't it?
I don't know. People like when I
they like engage. Drama.
Regardless of that, so yeah, we're in a situation where we're not sure what the future is going to be for our content. And I'm just going to do the best I can to keep on presenting my food content. Also providing social issues, etc. I mean, we have this platform where we can say whatever we want. But yeah, it is interesting because I've been seeing some, they're not necessarily political creators, but creators that are mutuals of mine are definitely getting muted on Insta. I've seen that where, because they're presenting social issues that, you know, are important, you know, and not necessarily super controversial, but
thou shalt not kill suddenly becomes like so controversial, you know. It's remarkable what causes people to be upset, like triggers people.
Okay, while we're still on the political world here, there's something really interesting happening in these kind of like deep red states. Alabama Florida, Tennessee. They're getting to a point where these states are working aggressively to ban lab-grown meat.
That's wild. Do they have a lot of, you know, meat cattle ranchers in these states? Is that perhaps why? And so they're lobbying to do it, to ban it? They do not want that threat to their existing businesses?
I mean, you think about a state like Florida, there's also a lot of industry there. I mean, yeah. The two main lab-grown meat companies are Eat Just and Upside Foods, and they're based in California. So maybe that's has something to do with it. Anyway, I'm going to play something here. This is a news report from Florida.
I'm Forrest Saunders inside the state capitol. It's called cultivated meat, protein not from an animal, but from a laboratory. And the state of Florida is now moving closer and closer to banning the sale of it. Here are the details. The future of what critics call fake meat might soon be cooked in Florida. Lawmakers Monday taking another step towards making it happen, clearing through committee.
Amendment carries unanimously. Show the amendment adopted.
A ban on the manufacture, sale, or distribution of, quote, cultivated meat in Florida under threat of criminal and civil penalties.
I'm calling it cultivated protein, not even cultivated meat, because that would allude that there's some sort of parity between real meat and what is being produced in a lab.
Rep. Danny Alvarez isn't talking about those soy burgers, but meat grown in a lab using cells from living animals. It's a fairly new science and budding industry that Alvarez fears is potentially dangerous.
Simply put, it's safety. There's no long-term safety data on cultivated protein. We know that it can happen. We know that it's been approved by the USDA for human consumption. But after that, we don't have any idea what it'll do. So,
isn't that interesting? They have no idea what it'll do. It's all about safety.
Yeah. I mean, we know already if you eat too many steaks, you're going to get heart disease. So how much worse can a steak in a lab be?
In this Vox article that I read, they said that if in Tennessee, they're pushing a bill that will levy a $1 million fine if you try to sell lab-grown meat in their state.
Let's Google this. What, like, for example, Tennessee meat production percentage of economy. Beef cattle is the largest agricultural commodity in Tennessee. Well, there you have it. The existing commercial interests are threatened, because if people are going to be buying imported lab meat from California, that's going to make an economic impact on cattle people in Tennessee. But beyond that, there's just, you know, the nature of conservatism. It's we want to conserve. Let's not change anything. I want the existing social, economic, and political order to stay the same because it benefits me.
Let's run away from science.
let's just do things the traditional way, because if it ain't broke for me, don't fix it.
Anyway, let's keep going. This genius man is talking about how he, even though it's been okayed by the FDA, it's still unsafe for some reason.
So until then, we're just going to pump the brakes.
To date, only two companies in the U.S. have been greenlit to sell cultivated meat. Neither are in Florida. And this bill would still permit research of the product. Plus, it has the big name backing of the governor to boot.
You need meat, okay? And we're going to have meat in Florida. Like, we're not going to, we're going to have fake meat. Like, that doesn't work.
But critic.
That's DeSantis talking.
DeSantis.
About. He's really pushing the culture war.
He's tip of the spear on culture war, because he knows that stuff gets people agitated, and agitated people donate and vote.
He made nice with Disney finally, so I guess he's moving on to meat.
Critics have concerns. Not only could the ban limit a source of cheap, renewable, and environmentally friendly food in the future.
Yes.
Liftoff of the Falcon 9 and Crew Dragon. Go NASA!
Restrictions might chill investment in something that could help astronauts with long-term habitation on planets like Mars.
To ban and criminalize the manufacturing and distribution in our state is absurd.
Rep. Anna Eskamani, one of a few vegans in the Florida legislature, says her opposition is because the bill tastes too much like anti-freedom.
It's anti-free market. It is clearly designed to protect an industry that doesn't want competition. And we need to embrace new technologies, not criminalize it.
The ban has one more.
That was so funny when they tried to ban the Martian space cows.
The Martian space cows? What's that?
They you know, I'm joking, but like he said, you know, they might need lab meat when you have colonies on Mars. And it's true. Like, you don't really want to raise cattle on another planet, and beyond that, you don't want to export cattle from Earth to Mars. Martian space cows.
Well, what's going to happen is everyone's going to be eating so much beef that our planet will be uninhabitable, and then we're going to have to colonize Mars. I mean, this is just nonsense.
And then you can just put the space cows on the ship like Noah's Ark, and then use them to populate Martian space cattle.
It's like, we ran out of food. We had to feed the space cows.
Can we title this episode Martian Space Cows?
Yes, of course. We'll do that. Yes, just for you. Here, let's see how this wraps up here.
And with the GOP majority on board, it seems likely to reach the governor, who's already signaling cultivated meat won't be on Florida's menu. Now, this legislation does a whole lot more than just ban the sale of cultivated meat. In its some 90 pages, it also has preemption over local governments for the regulation of electric charging stations. It also does more to protect palmetto berries and a whole lot more. We'll have to keep watching this legislation.
Okay, so it's protecting palmetto berries as well. That's good.
I just think these people are trying to preserve the 50s. Everything that happened in the 50s keeps happening. Nothing new.
Let's not look at any scientific data at all and just keep our heads in the sand and pretend like it's the 50s.
You walk down Disneyland's Main Street USA and it's this simulation of this like good old America that never really was. I feel as though a lot of people just want to preserve that old-timey world that didn't actually exist.
Oh, also, there's another GOP situation. I don't know if this is some kind of coincidence, but I was thinking, like, doesn't the Impossible Meat label look a lot like a MAGA hat?
Make beef great again? I don't know. I can't speak to that.
Okay. On a semi-lighter note, I was going to save this for the last part of the podcast because, I mean, I was wondering how you think about this because it's kind of a situation where I don't know what to think about it. I have definitely some opinions about it, but I'm curious. I'd like to throw this at you because I'm curious what someone who's not super in the trenches would think about this.
Armchair activist me.
Well, a guy that, let's say, like maybe goes to Portland to go to vegan places and just going to Veggie Grill, you know, just
I have no excuse for that. Like that was a fumble, and I honestly there's no defense. Like, whoops.
Okay. So there's this vegan meat company that's making deli meat out of koji mycelium, which is a company called Prime Roots, and I've promoted their products.
You were friendly with all the executives, right?
Yeah, no, in fact, I interviewed the CEO Kimberly Lee and on the podcast, and I like the food, I like what they're doing, and I always thought, like, okay, this is a scrappy company that's pushing out, you know, really good product. But the other situation is that you can't control the movements that these companies do. And obviously, it's a small company. I mean, they have some resources. Obviously, they have a factory and they're making product, etc. April 1st.
April Fool's Day.
And they pushed out a video of a Tesla Cybertruck that had been wrapped with the Prime Roots logo.
Those things do attract attention.
And the next day, they said it wasn't an April Fool's joke. It was actually their Cybertruck.
Mm-hmm.
And they posted like this really sexy video of them driving around and high-fiving each other with like this grand music. And I'm thinking to myself, like, okay.
Oh, you know, it's a depreciable business expense. It makes the weight, they can 100% depreciate it in the first fiscal year.
Okay, well, that's, see, you understand. Maybe that's the reason why. See, that's why I brought this to you, this the smart minds. But the situation is not about whether or not they get a Cybertruck or a Rivian or whatever. The problem is the Cybertruck has a lot of baggage as a representation of Elon Musk at his most extreme. And so when a so-called, is it a vegan company? I mean, they have vegan meats. A lot of people reacted negatively when they saw that they Prime Roots was going to, they're reinventing the Wienermobile, and they've got this Cybertruck that has a wrap that says Prime Roots. And
I have an opinion.
I understand that. Go ahead. Tell me your opinion.
Look, I'll be the first to admit Cybertruck is goofy, and it's like a very flawed vehicle with some design issues that they should probably address. But if you're going to, align yourself with a car, the two good things about Tesla are that they have renounced all leather interiors. So they are a relatively vegan company, which I can't think of any other.
Well, if you think about the lithium that exploited
the problem. Yeah.
I don't know.
The batteries are an issue, but I mean,
and the anti-union stance of Elon Musk.
Yeah, that's a problem.
The racism.
Okay, all of those things.
The forwarding of like Nazis and all sorts of.
What?
X, Twitter, there's all sorts of nonsense.
You're right.
Going
all they have going for them is that they don't have leather seats.
Leather seats, racism. What's better?
Right.
I mean, it's like,
the move was like, this is a big controversial car that everybody's talking about. Let's like ride its coattails. I saw one recently in real life, and it's just really cringe. It looks like an oversized, like a really big oversized Hot Wheel car.
Well, they're also going like full force on it. They have like this thing, name our vehicle and win $1,000. And some people are like, cringe mobile.
It is pretty cringe, but I don't know. You know, like nobody's perfect. I'm going to Google this and see this Prime Roots.
Well, not only that, they actually on their website, they have a whole explanation why they got a Cybertruck. They said it's a perfect vehicle to put all their deli meat in it. And they actually drove it around LA. They drove it to like Follow Your Heart. They took it to the vegan playground. I just think that when it comes
it's
to
funny,
vegans,
I'm looking at their website and it, you know, Prime Roots /pages/Cybertruck, and there's no picture of it anymore. It's as if they realized they made a little whoops.
No, it's on their Insta.
Oh, I see it. Yeah, I see it. Oh, wow. That is quite a vision. Whoa. That looks so weird. It is a cringe mobile. Hey, remember we once drove by a Tesla that was similarly bedecked? You remember?
When was that?
Recently, we saw JoJo Siwa's wrapped Tesla.
And it was cringe.
It was pretty funny. They had like spinning rims and her face all over it.
She's like has this big song, Karma's a Bitch. She's like pushing out. I'm sure you've seen all the JoJo Siwa.
I'm not that familiar with her work, but
she's all over the social media.
You have a high school age daughter. Maybe that's why you're more like familiar with her.
I have the attention span of a high school student, so that's why I'm constantly going on social media. But I'm sure you've heard it. I even used the song once on one of my stories.
The deli on wheels that's too cool for fuel. Cold cuts for a hot planet. It looks like a giant sandwich. You want to just eat the truck.
I mean, here's a situation. In theory, it makes sense. It's an electric vehicle. It's, you know, it's futuristic. I understand why they moved in this direction. But when you see the controversies when it comes to, obviously most vegans are left-leaning. Most vegans do not support Elon Musk. Most vegans are very unhappy with the dumpster fire that's X, you know, Twitter X. And it's a situation where it's like, okay, you know, there's just PR-wise, it's much more of a deficiency than it is a positive. You know, of all the people that are going to think it's cool are probably not left-leaning vegans. But again, maybe that's the plan. Maybe it's like, we don't care about the vegans. Let's just market it to, I don't know, other people that are going to eat plant-based meat.
Here's what they wanted. They wanted people like us to talk about it. They wanted people to talk about it in the comments. They want, you know, like that's how publicity works. You get people's attention, and then that builds brand awareness.
I don't know. I think it's a different kind of brand awareness because when Elon Musk brings all this baggage, you have this kind of new company that's sort of forward, you know, moving forth. You basically get a certain impression from. Like, what's this company about? Well, you know, should I buy this product? I mean, you know, they did buy that, you know, Cybertruck.
I think their marketing budget is only so much, and they're like, this is going to get attention. Because look, here we are talking, like, we just spent 10 minutes talking about it on our podcast. And then people are, like, Googling it, because you look just like I did. And then while I'm on the site, you know, I'm like, oh, let's learn more about Koji Meats. Oh, that looks yummy.
Well, I mean, I've been talking about their meat for the last, you know, I don't know, several months. You know, I like their
products. And that didn't get me to Google them. What did was the Cybertruck.
Okay, well, see? Mission accomplished. They won your hearts and minds, Mike Keller.
I mean, they won my attention. I don't know about my heart. I do want to try it. It looks good.